This is part B of the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread 2008. Trust in God. Now let's see how we are to trust God in all circumstances, regardless of how even futile or life-threatening it may be. And even if people mock you, and if even people just say you're foolish to do this. Now, we're going to face something like this when we come to the mark of the beast, aren't we, if we live into that time, right? Yes, indeed. Because to the world, it will be foolish to reject the mark of the beast. But God says, that's the way that we are going to enter into the kingdom of God if we don't receive the mark of the beast. Now, let's see how even the prophecy of Jesus. Let's come to Psalm 22. And let's see some select verses here out of Psalm 22 so that we can understand that Jesus was the forerunner for us in trusting in God, in giving his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world to be able to save us. So he is able to help. He is able to intervene. He has the power. He has the experience. He's gone through the worst thing that any human being could ever do through the crucifixion, and that is portrayed by the Passover. Now, Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? So there will come times when you will feel that you have been forsaken by God. And Christ had to experience this. Imagine the one who used to be part of Elohim becoming a human being. And now these thoughts were coming to him. And God did have to leave him so that he could bear the sins of all the world. And he did it by himself, Hebrews the first chapter. Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now come down here to verse 6. Here's how he felt. For I'm a worm. You ever felt less than nothing? Well, that's part of our experiencing the futility of human life so that we will desire the kingdom of God and eternal life even all that much more. And no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And this prophecy happened when they saw him up on the cross. They said, if you be the Christ, come down. We'll believe you. Well, they had 3.5 years to believe him. See, miracles will not make people believe if they don't want to believe. That's why we have to choose and love God and believe God and trust in God. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him seeing he delighted in him. So lots of times there's going to be a mocking. Lots of times there's going to be things where the whole world will think that you are an idiot for trusting in God. So we need to understand Christ went through that. Now let's come here to Psalm 40 and let's see how we are to handle these things and what God will do for us, every one of us. So what I want you to do is just as we're going through this and trusting in the Lord, I want you to examine your life and examine the circumstances and just ask God to help you see things from his perspective. Let the Spirit of God lead you in understanding and joy in spite of the circumstances that you are in. Now, here are some pretty dire circumstances. Verse 1, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now notice what happens when God intervenes to deliver you. Notice the blessing and the exhilaration and the uplifting that comes from that. Notice. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. So your example, my example, can be those things which will help people to trust in God. Now, verse 4, blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, doesn't that remind you of the political campaigns that are going on? Oh, and trust me, let's make the change. Oh, it'll be a nice form of communism that you will like. You see, we're going to tax the rich. We're going to take everything from them and give it to you. Won't that be nice? We will just be all self-centered, and we're going to bring our troops out of Iraq, and we're going to spend all this money on ourselves, and we're going to let the rest of the world go to hell in a handbasket. And if Al-Qaeda raises its head, well, then we'll have to do something about it. But you know what's going to happen if it happens here. See? So don't trust in vain men, as I've said many times. You cannot solve spiritual problems by political means. See? So, blessed, that's a blessing that comes from God, is the one that makes the Lord his trust and respects not proud persons. Okay? Nor turns aside unto lies. Let's come back here to Psalm 26. We're going to spend most of the rest of the sermon here in the book of Psalms, because there are so many things here to teach us how to trust in God. What were the circumstances that David went through and others went through? Now let's pick it up here, Psalm 26 and verse 1, because we're being judged by God now. Everything we do, every day, we're being judged, for judgment is upon the house of God. This is why, as I've mentioned so many times in the model prayer, we come to God, we ask forgiveness, we forgive those that have sinned against us, we ask God to deliver us from Satan the devil, which is also part of the meaning of this day, being delivered from Satan the devil miraculously by God. Verse 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Notice how trusting. This is what trusting in God does. It means that regardless of the circumstances that are around, regardless of what people may think, regardless of the mockings that they may bring upon you, regardless of the disparagement that they bring upon you, God is there and he loves you and he is going to lift you out of it and you can trust in him completely. Now let's come to Psalm 71. You will see each one of these psalms, it gives us a little bit more on how we trust in God. A little bit more on how God is going to fight for us. A little bit more of how our approach needs to be to God depending upon our circumstances. Because, you see, we come all the way from the terrible circumstances, God leads us through it, into things which are not so terrible, and then all of a sudden, God lifts us up, and the way becomes clear, and we can overcome. Now, Psalm 71, verse 1. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. See, if you always rely on God, you're not going to be put to confusion. You know you're trusting in him. Now, notice, deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Now, that ties right in with 1 Corinthians 10 that we read, that God will always provide a way of escape. Incline your ear unto me and save me. be my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Boy, that's something. We'll talk about this a little bit later. See. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. God will bless us when we come to Him with that. God will be with us in everything that we do. Yes, He will. He will help us under all circumstances. Now let's come back here to Psalm 62, and Psalm 62 is quite a psalm. I know we covered part of this on the first holy day. But let's pick it up here, Psalm 62 and verse 1. Truly my soul waits upon God. Now you just really understand that. Patiently wait for God. See, God is going to work it out. From Him comes my salvation. Not through schemes of men, not through schemes of self, but from God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be greatly moved. No, because you have built on that rock. Isn't that what Jesus said? Let's come back here to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Hold your place right here in the book of Psalms. Let's come back here to Matthew 7, and let's see the promise that Jesus gave. And this is how we are to trust in God, and how we are to build our Christian life, and how we are to rely upon God, His Word, His power, His Spirit, and His deliverance, which can come directly from Him or through the angels who are ministering spirits. But here's what we need to be doing so that we can have the faith, have the confidence, and have the trust that we need. Matthew 7. Let's pick it up here now, beginning in verse Matthew 7 and verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them. See, that's the key. We are to practice the truth, live in the commandments of God, as we've explained before, a three-step way. Walk in faith, believe in hope, and live in love. Okay? Here's these words of mine, and that includes the Old Testament, the New Testament, and practices them. I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Christ is our rock. We just read it there. We read it back in 1 Corinthians 10. And the rain came, and the floods came, because it always does. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. And you can liken that to life experiences that we go through. And it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Now then, look at the contrary to that. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Oh, it's easy building. Yes, indeed. And rains came, the floods came, the wind blew, beat upon a house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So you see the two differences, you see. That's what's going to happen to the world. They're going to fall. We're going to be resurrected and given eternal life. Now let's come back here to Psalm 62 and continue on here, you see. I shall not be greatly removed, because you're trusting in God, trusting in the Word of God. How long? Now, verse 3, Psalm 62. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. Because why? The rains came, the wind blew and beat upon it, and it fell. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, and that's the way human nature is. Sinful from within. So then he says, my soul, wait only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock. Now we're going to see this all the way through the Psalms. Many of the Psalms that we talk about talks about the rock. The rock. And when you're anchored on that rock, then you have the salvation of God. He is my rock and salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And this is almost like the song that the children of Israel sang after God destroyed the armies of Pharaoh and their chariots and horses in the Red Sea. They said, God is a man of war. God is my strength. God protected us. God saved us, you see. And he is. Look at how God intervenes in many different ways. Look back in your life, your Christian walk, and see how many times God has delivered you. How many times God has spared you? How many times God has changed the circumstances so you could avoid disaster and problems and difficulties? Now, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. This is what it needs to be for us. Trusting in God for everything. Trusting in him in the good times, in the difficult times, in the trying times. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us. Now, it can't get any better than that, can it? Remember this, God is for you. God loves you. But we need to understand that. It doesn't matter how inadequate you feel, because feeling inadequate means that you're going to rely more on God. So if you put that all together, that really is a tremendous thing for you to understand. Now let's come to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Tell you, if you want a good study, go through all the Psalms and read them. Just make a regular study and reading through it. Okay? Psalm 112, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. That's our strength, brethren. We hear the words of Christ and we practice them. And we delight in the commandments of God. We delight in the Word of God. And that becomes the whole focal point that draws us to God. That he adds to us his spirit, adds to us his love, adds to us his faith and confidence that he gives to us, you see. That's why Jesus said back there in Mark 10, when the disciples wanted to know how they could have their prayers answered, he said, have the faith of God. That faith which comes from God to you. Now let's continue. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now what I want you to do is think of this going on into the kingdom of God. And I want you to think beyond the trials of this world and think into the kingdom of God when we have completely overcome sin and self and Satan and have been resurrected, which then is pictured by the next holy day, the Feast of Pentecost. Now notice, wealth and riches shall be in his house, because you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord, right? Yes. And his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. That's how we are to lead our lives, brethren, and God will bless us and hear us. Now let's come down here to, let's just continue on. A good man shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion, that is, with wisdom and understanding. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And that's what the Sabbath and holy days do to us. God wants us to have all of these things fixed in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives, and they become a very part of how we think, how we live, how we look at everything, you see. That's what this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about, that we can completely overcome all of these things through Christ. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the odds are that appear impossible to do. Verse 8, his heart is established, he shall not be afraid until he shall see his desire upon his enemies. So, that's quite a thing, isn't it? Now, let's come over here to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Let's pick it up beginning in verse 1. And we will see how God does these things for us, and what we are to do, and how it establishes our minds and our trust and our faith and relying upon God in everything. Psalm 118 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. And you can go to Psalm 136, and every verse ends, 32 verses, they all end in, his mercy endures forever. Now, please understand, those are not vain repetitions, but praising God and honoring God because God is interested in mercy and not sacrifice. So his mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. Notice verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress, just like Hezekiah, just like Moses, just like all the saints where God has delivered them. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now notice, the Lord is on my side. Why is the Lord on our side? Because we're on his side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Even as Jesus said, don't fear men who can take your, kill the body, but can't take your life. Fear God. Notice, verse 7, the Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire upon those that hate me. Isn't that something? Yes. God's going to take care of it. Now, here's the middle verse of the whole Bible, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Because men are always going to fail you. Men have their shortcomings, their weaknesses, their sins, their downfalls, and the only way that any of us can overcome any of that is through the power of God, through his word, through his spirit, and through trusting in him. Verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, that talks about a political situation then, right? Yes. How many people have had great confidence whenever a new president takes over? You see, don't look at how it starts out. You look at how it ends up. And almost every single president that has been elected with great hopes and great promises and great slogans, what happens? Well, after 4 years or 8 years, all comes apart. How many people were thrilled and excited when Jimmy Carter squeaked out a victory over Gerald Ford? Ooh, after 4 years, couldn't stand it. How many people were excited when George Bush was elected? Look at where we are today. How many people are excited in Messiah Obama? They're going to be disappointed. Let's carry this another step further. What's going to happen when the beast rises in power and everyone believes he's God manifested in the flesh and he's going to save the world? I've got a new book. I'm going to have to bring a sermon on it. I think this week I got about a total of 15 books. So Dolores keeps saying to me, "Don't we have enough books?" And I said, "Well, yeah, but we need these." And this one is A New Earth, Your Purpose in Life, which is New Age Satan Worship. Sponsored by the friend of millions of women, Hope Ray. Yes. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Yes, the Lord has chastened me sore, but he's not given me over to death. Now notice what's going to happen. Open the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them. That's at the resurrection, you see. And I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise you, for you have heard me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And that's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Christ even quoted this. So did the apostles. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's this holy day. Save now, I beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has shown us light, and bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Then it goes into Psalm 119. Ooh, tell you what, the Word of God is tremendous, brethren. When you understand it, put it all together in what God is teaching us. These are the living words of God to teach us, to uplift us, to encourage us, to give us the desire to love God, to trust in him, to walk in faith, believe in hope, and live in love. It's all there for us. Now let's come to Psalm 27. And let's see the rejoicing when we know that God is for us. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Psalm 27 and verse 1. There's even a song, wonderful song, that is made from this psalm here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, we don't fear anyone. We don't become obnoxious and repugnant and lifted up in our own vanity. No, we don't fear anyone. We don't fear any circumstances. Now, we're to be wise and cautious and all that. We're not to be reckless and go around in stupidity. We're to run our lives with discretion. but we're not to fear any man, we're not to fear any circumstances. The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? No one. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Just like what happened during the days of Hezekiah. They all died, 185,000 in one night, and they were all stiff corpses the next morning. Sennacherib got up and said, "All right, men, let's go." And he looked out there, and they were all dead. Because God promised it. Verse 3, "The host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord." Now notice the focus that David had on the purpose of life. "That I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And that also means eternal life. "To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." "For in the time of trouble," verse 5, "he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me, and shall set me upon a rock." God will do that. Now let's come here to Romans the 8th chapter. And let's look at all of the circumstances, when a lot of them Paul went through. But let's look at the circumstances here on how we are to face the trials and difficulties in life and trusting in God in faith, in confidence, in hope, and in love. Now let's come here to Romans 8. And these are words that we are to read on this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to trust in God. It doesn't matter if the ocean is ahead of you. Doesn't matter if the enemy is compassing about you. It doesn't matter if you are coming to the end of your life. It doesn't matter what the circumstances can be in anything. God is with you. God is for you. God has called you, and he will see you through. That's the promise of this day. Now let's begin here in Romans 8. And let's pick it up here in verse 28. Here's how, with this confidence and trust, that we know. Verse 28, Romans 8. "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And let's understand something. Loving God with all the heart, all the mind, all the soul, and all the being. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, loving the brethren, and yes, even loving our enemies, God blesses us in that. And that all comes from God. Doesn't come from something that we work up in ourselves. It comes from God. All things work together for good. Now, verse 29, "Because those whom he did foreknow," and if you have the Spirit of God, God foreknows you. "He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his own Son, and in God's plan that he developed before the creation of the world, he predestined that those that he has called will be conformed to the image of his own Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestinated, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." See, because God is going to make us shine like the stars of heaven, isn't he? Yes. That's where we have the strength and the spiritual power that comes from God to overcome. Now notice what Paul says here. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Think of that now. You have God and Christ and the angels. God has called you. God has predestinated you. God has given you His Holy Spirit. Nothing can be against you. Nothing. Not even death, because He's going to resurrect you. And boy, won't that be something when the world sees all the saints resurrected? Let's go on here. God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Think on that. God gave Christ up for every one of us. How shall He not also grant all of us, grant us all things together with Him? All things. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. We are joint heirs with Christ. He's going to grant us all things, and eternal life, and living forever, and being in New Jerusalem is going to be so great and so marvelous down through the ages of eternity, you see. That's why we need to ask God to help lift us up mentally and spiritually and think beyond what we are going through just as physical human beings and what God has promised us. Verse 33, who shall bring an accusation against the elect of God? God is the one who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, but rather who is raised again, who is even now at the right hand of God, and who is also making intercession for us. Think about that. In all circumstances, Christ is there, interceding, watching over, dispatching angels, helping, comforting, opening doors, fighting the enemy. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? So that's why we have to be, as we read back there in the Psalms, our hearts are fixed, and we place our trust and confidence in God. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And we can look down the road and see, not too many years removed from us, this is going to be the way that it is. So we need to ask God to strengthen us now, to fill us with His Spirit now, and continue to do so when those days come upon us. We will be able to endure and survive. Accordingly, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. And that day will come. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors, and that means overcomers. You could read back there in Revelation 2 and 3, to the one who overcomes, could also mean to the one who conquers. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now here is the mindset that we need to learn from this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And here is the fixing of our mind and the trusting in God, and walking in faith, and believing in hope, and living in love, that God will give us this strength and understanding so that we are going to be faithful and to attain to the kingdom of God. Let God work in your life to rescue you, to lead you, to help you, to uplift you. All right, verse 38. For I am persuaded, and this is where we need to come to, brethren, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the meaning of the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Complete absolute trust and confidence in God to see us through any trial, no matter how great, no matter how overwhelming, no matter how the odds are stacked against us, God loves us, God has called us, God is for us, and He will see us through it, and He will deliver us. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.